Once again, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, who are keenly aware that dogs have owners and cats have staff.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, when I came to thinking of a guest to talk about the different fish and plants that you would put inside your pond or water garden, there's no better expert in the market than you. So you're going to be the guest in this segment. So you'll have to tolerate me asking the questions. But I did want to ask you the question, what kind of fish besides koi make for good water garden and pond type fish?
You know, the biggest problem that people will do is they'll have unrealistic expectations. So our job is, when someone comes into the store, is to kind of build appropriate expectations. And sometimes when you actually do that, they actually are impressed with the results because they're not living outside the pond's means, so to speak. So as an example for fish, a common thing I might recommend for somebody that's going to have a 100 to 200 to 300 gallon pond, which is actually a pretty beautiful addition to any backyard. You know, you don't have to go big or go home. You can definitely go small and go home right into your backyard. And that's simply using tropical fish out in your water garden. Many of these fish are cold water, goldfish and koi specifically. And so if you want to keep them outdoors, which probably makes sense because they do get a lot bigger than tropical fish, you have to prepare the pond in such a way that it can actually tolerate that through the winter. The good news about tropical fish, one, you have to be a little careful in putting them out a little later, you know, but when you put them out, they love the environment. They're like, wow, what did you just give me? When you watch them, you see them at ease within that 100-gallon pond, 200-gallon pond, and that's like, you know, 10 times bigger than the 10-gallon tank they had for the winter. And at the same time, they really help the overall environment. Quite typically, tropical fish can kind of be a niche provider where they're eating algae that you don't want and eating bugs off the plants and such that you don't want. So tropical fish are something that you don't want to exclude from the options. They've been bred in such a way that they're just, you know, brilliant in color if you pick them out carefully. And they aren't tough to keep indoors. You know, we know all about that. So that's certainly one idea. Another idea to mention would be simply goldfish and koi, but you want to make sure your ponds are starting to exceed 300, 400 gallons so that they can act, and they need to have special conditions so that the fish can winter over.
Right. Now, one of the things that you would run into, I would imagine, with an outdoor pond especially, is that if you have fish in a fish tank, you don't have to worry about things in nature getting into there, like leaves dropping off of trees and bugs and insects flying into the tank because it's typically sealed. How does that affect the conditions of the tank and the maintenance of the tank?
Or the pond. Yeah. I think what you want to mention is that, simply it isn't as hard as you might think at creating a safe outdoor pond. In some ways, it's even easier. And I don't want to contradict what Aaron was saying, because he was saying no light means not a lot of algae and stuff. The flip side to that is, and there is some truth to that, but the reality is when you do things right, when you actually have proper circulation and proper plants that grow and prosper in the pond, good aeration and such, before you know it, the pond is pretty darn resilient and it can tolerate those type of things. But it is true that if you have pond placement is important. You don't want, if you're going to have a tree that's going to be dropping stuff in there, you better put a net or something over it at that time of year. So just a little preparation can kind of prevent some of those outside issues. If you're going to have a lot of sunlight, right, in broad sunlight, you better have a lot of water lilies, water lettuce, things that shade the top surface of the water, providing natural shade for your fish. But also, they're very ambitious growers, especially water lettuce, and it just grows to the extent, or water hyacinths, they grow to such a great degree that you're actually grabbing them and throw them into the compost heap, you know. So it's that type of, you know, think ahead, understand what you're putting forth, and we help in that respect. You know, anytime somebody wants to do a pond, we're not thinking about let's get things up and running with water. We're thinking about creating that long-term successful pond experience.
Now, what about outside visitors? Things like turtles and frogs and herons and things like that. What do you do to keep them from upsetting the natural balance?
Well, each one of those can be kind of talked about or handled separately. There are always the possibilities of intruders, and depending on where you're located, if you're right downtown Lansing, you know, or you might have a fenced backyard, that's far less of an issue. But more that you get out into the wild, we've had Dr. Wayne Beasley from Cedar Creek Vet Clinic come in here and talked about other topics, including ponds, and he's done a really good job of kind of tackling those things. And the main thing he's got is almost non-visible fishing line that runs around the perimeter of his pond that it just happens to be blue heron, for instance. They want to land on shore, and then they want to walk in. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that fishing line that they can't see hits their kneecaps, you know, they're like, what's this all about? That kind of freaks out, and they'll go to a pond that's a lot easier task. You know, that's not 100% guarantee, but as a general rule, when I look at his pond, he's had it out there in Williamston, out in the country for at least a dozen years, and he has just beaming with koi. So it's certainly possible, but you do need to know what your intruders are.
Right. And what about the others in terms of do frogs cause any kind of an issue, or turtles? Because I've seen them come wandering by no matter where you are, and they're drawn to water, aren't they?
Not too much of an issue, although, you know, if you're trying to keep a small fish in your pond, the frog might present a problem, where he doesn't provide a present a problem with goldfish and koi. I've been able to keep a good number of live bears in with frogs around, as long as the numbers are reproducing faster. You know, they are real reproductive fish. So, you know, that's one thing is that and frogs aren't necessarily the best thing for a rubber liner pond anyhow, because they can't burrow and winter over. So you're somewhat limited on population numbers, and usually they're like one frog wants to own a substantial amount of real estate, so they drive off all the other ones as well. So it's a little bit of a problem. Turtles, not so much of an issue. Generally just grab and remove, and they typically don't come back too often. It's not too hard to get rid of them.
Interesting. And when it comes to choosing the plants to put into your water garden, what do you recommend typically for people who are relatively new at this?
Yeah, they're going to be looking at three types of plants. You're going to be talking about plants that bridge the surface, marginal plants, if you will. They do a really good job of pulling out nutrients and can grow kind of beyond the pond itself's capacity, because they can grow vertically above it, and that's nutrient control. There are also pond plants that float, and floating plants, water hyacinths specifically, or to the certain extent, even though they're potted to the bottom, water lilies do a great job at shading. You typically want anywhere from a third to half of the pond shaded by July. Mm-hmm. And so you want to plant that in mind. And then there are actually what we call oxygenating plants that can be kind of potted up and just gravel. They don't even need to be soiled, and they drop to the bottom and they grow their way up to the surface. And what they'll provide is, at least during the daytime, lots of oxygen. Mm-hmm. And they'll also provide coverage for the fish. Generally, in the areas where you don't have the floating plants kind of naturally congregating, you want to have some oxygenating plants from below that are just providing, you know, that healthy little ecosystem.
Right. And Rick, I guess as we're going to conclude the conversation today, the warning you should give people about not wanting to act too prematurely in spite of the great weather that we've got. You've got about 30 seconds. Why don't you give that warning?
Yeah. Fish and even plants can be, you know, definitely vulnerable to the very cold. And we may have some cold days. So we typically are looking at the middle of May at the earliest, when we start repopulating the pond of both plants and fish. People will want to do it much sooner,
right?
But that's when we generally recommend it.
Okay. Well, we've had a very fascinating conversation, but once again, we're out of time. So on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host and guest in the studio, Rick Bruce, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk with you again next weekend for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show here on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. And please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.